James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 13 today. James chapter 5, verse number 13. Verse 13 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." You know, someone wisely said years ago, I don't know who it was, but somebody wisely said, all sunshine makes a desert. You know, we enjoy sunshine. But if we only had sunshine, a person would be hotter and drier than it is already. But we need that rain. The rains like today are a blessing. So you need to change. But you know, the same thing is true. This principle is true in our lives. You know, we would prefer to have all happiness. But we need times of hardship as well to strengthen us and encourage us. And sometimes we look at those hardships and think, why me? Why do I got to go through hardships? There's nothing fun about hardships. But hardships are needed. They're good for us. And we need the difficult times as well as the good times in order to be able to be strong and strengthened. Because if we only had the good times, we wouldn't know how to cope with the bad times. And it would be difficult. We wouldn't have any sympathy or empathy toward other people. You know, that's one of the things that I've learned as I've gotten older. And I hope I'm learning it. And the Lord doesn't have to keep teaching me more and more. But to have empathy for other people. So that we can understand. You know, when we see somebody going through a trial and say, oh, too bad. No, when we sense it in our heart, we feel, I feel for them because they're going through a deep time. It's a difficult time for them. They're struggling. They're in pain or they're in sorrow or they're having troubles in their family or whatever the need may be. We empathize with them and say, I may not fully understand, but my heart has compassion toward them. I have a heart for them. Just this morning in the book of Proverbs, that was the verse that I was pondering on. It was in Proverbs 11 verse 12, I think it was, that it was talking about how that the person who has speaks out against somebody without really thinking is not wise, but the person who keeps his mouth shut is a wiser person. And sometimes, you know, there's ways like that when we find something where we need to, you know, somebody's having a hard time, we need that empathy. And so God is helping us here. Trials are good for us, even though they're not pleasant. And as we look at this, God gives us commands regarding our hardships and our happiness. We're going to look at those commands today. God gave us two commands in this verse. The first one deals with hardships. And the first part of the verse, again, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." So the first thing we look at is that during hardships, God tells us where to pray. And we notice, first of all, God's question. What was the question he asked? He says, "Is any among you afflicted? Is any among you afflicted?" When he says any, he's talking to anybody that's listening. And remember, James was writing not to unbelievers. This is not necessarily an evangelistic book. It's a book that was encouraging the Christians. And so he's writing to Christians and saying among them, "Is any of you afflicted?" Now, we saw back in the early chapters of the book how there was a lot of them being afflicted. They were in an area. They had run away from persecution. They're hiding out in the hills and the mountains and the places away so they could get away from the persecution that was around them. And James now says, "Is any among you afflicted?" And they're probably saying, "Of course there is." And he says, "Then let us pray." So he talks about anyone addressing the Christians. And you know, only a true Christian can really talk to God. Now, I'm not saying God's deaf and he can't hear an unbeliever. But as you look at the Scriptures, what do the Scriptures say about our communication with God? What do they say about prayer? What do they talk about? Psalm 66:18, for example, says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." All right, so if I have iniquity, sin, if there's sin in my heart, God closes his ear and says, "I'm not going to listen." Now, a person that doesn't know Christ as the Savior, their heart is full of sin. They have never been forgiven of their sin. So God has no obligation to listen at all to an unbeliever. And yet as a Christian, even as a Christian, we have the opportunity to talk to God and he can listen to us, but we need to make sure that our heart stays clean before him if we're going to be able to talk to him. So it's very important that we keep our hearts right before God. Paul wrote over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 18. He says, through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He said, through Jesus, we have access unto the Father. That means we have the opportunity to talk with God. We have the opportunity to come into his presence because of Jesus, what Jesus did for us. Paul goes on in the same book in chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. He says, our faith in Christ gives us boldness and confidence to be able to have access to God. You know, that is a privilege that we have as Christians, is the privilege of being able to talk to God, to be able to communicate with God. And so James addresses here, he says, if any among you, and he's talking to the Christians, we have opportunity to talk to God, we have access to God because of our relationship with Him, and we can talk to God. You know, I'm fearful that there are many sincere prayers offered by religious people that never reach the heart of God, because they've never experienced the sin cleansing power of salvation. That's sad. A lot of sincere people pray. Some churches, they have their little ritual prayers. They say the same thing every time. Some churches, they just, you know, they don't really know what they're saying. Some of them read their prayers out of the back of the songbook. They're ritual prayers. There's other people that just, you know, they never pray except when in trouble and say, oh God, I need some help. You know, if you're out there somewhere, help me. You know, and God's able, but God has no obligation if a person doesn't know Christ. He will close his ears to that. And Isaiah chapter 52, I believe it is, also tells us a similar thing of how God will close his ears to our prayers if we are not right with God. So it's important that we understand that it is a privilege to be able to talk to God and to communicate with God. So James is addressing, first of all, he says, if any among you is afflicted. Now the word afflicted there is a word that simply means to suffer. It has to do with troubles and hardships and trials and afflictions in life. And we all have them. Life is full of that. We have our problems and our troubles and our struggles. And, you know, we may not have the same struggles somebody else has, but we all have struggles. You may have struggles in your family. You may have struggles with your finances. You may have struggles in whatever area, but there's all these struggles in life. And so there we are afflicted, and these hardships and things, they attack in different ways, at different times, in different seasons, in different sizes. Some trials are huge, so much so that we feel like, I don't think I can cope with this. And other trials may be small. But whatever the trial is, God is there to meet our needs, and He wants us to pray. And so He says, if any of you are afflicted, you know, we have physical afflictions of sickness and pain. We have emotional troubles, like burdens and worries that trouble us and weigh us down. We have spiritual troubles at times when maybe we're struggling with some guilt in our life because of sins that we've done, we've not dealt with, not taken care of. So there's the spiritual troubles. There's sometimes persecution troubles. We stand up for the Lord and people give us a hard time. They harass us because of our faith in Christ. They don't like the fact that we know Christ is our Savior, or that we speak out for Jesus. There's those persecution troubles. There's sometimes financial troubles, perhaps because of poor choices, other times because of unexpected loss. But it puts you in a financial bind where you say, what am I going to do? I need help financially, and I'm having troubles. There's sometimes marital troubles caused by selfishness or sin. Marriages have toughness and conflict. And that's one of the reasons why we have a marriage, where we have a couple's dinner. It isn't just so we can get together and have a nice meal together, but it's so I can give a special message just for the couples to try to build you up and sometimes try to just fortify you so that you won't cave in to the pressures of life and the pressures of marriage. It is tough trying to get along with another person in life and live in close contact life. That can be difficult at times, but God wants it to be sweet and harmonious and to be pleasing to Him. And so there are times when there are marital conflicts. There's times when parenting troubles over children who have been rebellious or away from the Lord or not doing what is right, and it causes grief to the parents. You know, you children sometimes don't realize the grief that you cause your parents when you don't walk in the ways you ought to go. It causes grief beyond your comprehension. You won't understand until you're someday in that situation. And then the grief is heavy. Nothing you can do about it sometimes. And it's a troublesome burden. So there's those kind of parenting troubles. Other times there's social troubles. Maybe it's a neighbor that just, no matter what you try to do, you can't get along with him because he's just so ornery. Nothing makes him happy. Maybe it's the boss at work. Maybe it's someone that you run into now and then that gives you social troubles. But we have troubles coming on from every way. Life is full of troubles. Now, thankfully, life isn't all troubles. But life is full of troubles. And you know, sometimes we think, well, why is it that if I'm a Christian, why do I have troubles? Why doesn't God just take us out of these troubles and give us a life free from troubles? Well, you know, you read in the Bible examples of scores of people that lived for God, but they had troubles. One example that's kind of condensed for us is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter. It's often called the Hall of Faith. You know, they have a hall of fame with all the heroes. This is the hall of faith. These are men and women who were faithful to God, and yet every one of them faced trials. They all went through troubles and trials. Some of them very severe trials. Some of them were, you know, you think of like Noah. I mean, when God said to Noah, build an ark. I mean, we hear that story and we tell that story to the kids and think, oh yeah, that was cool. They built this big ark. Can you imagine the work of that? They worked over around 100 years building that boat. The thing was gigantic. They didn't have the, you know, a Bunnings to run down to buy all their latest tools to get out there and cut all and work. They didn't have that. It was hard work. A trial. Not only that, but then for all those years, there's people out there laughing at him saying, "No, you crazy nut. What are you doing? Building this, you call it a boat? It hasn't even rained before. No, what are you talking about? We're not near the water. What do you want this gigantic thing out there in the middle of nowhere for?" They laughed at him, mocked at him. But God helped him through it, met his need, and as a result, preserved life. But you know, you get to the end of the chapter 11 of Hebrews, and verse number 36. Flip over a couple pages. It's only a couple pages in your Bible over to Hebrews 11. If you're in James, just about four, five, six pages back, Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verses 36 to 38. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse number 36. It says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder," it means cut in half with a saw. "They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute," means without anything except the bare necessities to stay alive. "Afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth." I mean, God's describing His people, those who were serving God. Why would God let that happen to them? Well, sometimes God allows trials into our life because we need them for various reasons. It will help us. It will strengthen us. I often remember growing up on the farm, there were some trees in the forest that around us that were tall and skinny. And if you cut all the trees down around them, that poor tree, the next time the wind came along, that tree wouldn't stand a chance. It would just blow over because it didn't have any strength. But then you get this one tree that's out in the middle of the field. No trees around it. It is big and fat. Its roots have gone down deep. It has endured the winds. It has endured the rains. It has endured all the storms of life. It is strong and well-rooted, and it's not going to fall. Why? What's the difference? That one had gone through the trials. The other one was protected. And you know, sometimes we live in a little protected environment. Think, oh, if I can just live in my little protected environment and not have to go through all the hardships, it would be better. But it's not always the best for us. We don't enjoy the trials, but the trials often are good for us. But God says here that if any of you be afflicted, if any of you be afflicted. And so He's addressing those that have been afflicted. Now, James answers the question, well, what are we supposed to do? James says, if any of you be afflicted, let him pray. Let him pray. Now, that isn't just a suggestion. It's actually an imperative or a command. God says, are you afflicted? All right, you must pray. You must pray. And God wants us to pray. When things are going well, God wants us to pray. But when things are not going well, God also wants us to pray. Sometimes we think about it, and sometimes we don't. You think of Peter. Remember that time when the disciples were out on the boat. Jesus had sent them across the Sea of Galilee, and He was going to come later, and He was off praying in the mountains, and the disciples were out there on the boat, and a big storm comes on the sea, and they're afraid, and they're having all kinds of problems, and Jesus goes to meet them. He's walking on the water. They see Jesus, and they go, "Oh, what is that?" And Jesus said, "Don't fear, it's Me." And Peter said, "If it's You, let me come out and walk on the water with you." And Jesus said, "Okay, come, Peter." And Peter stepped out of the boat in the middle of the storm, raging waves, and Peter walked out to Jesus on top of the water. But he got almost out there and he got thinking, huh, I'm pretty cool. And he looked around, and as soon as he started looking around and he got fearful, boom, he started sinking. He immediately went down and he's gasping for water. You can just see him, old Peter, the old fisherman. He's used to swimming, but here's the waves blowing over. And what does he do? He said, I guess I'll have to swim to the boat. No, that's not what he did. He said, Lord, save me. He immediately prayed and he cried out for help. Now that was the wise thing to do when he was afflicted. And when we get into situations like that, if you're used to praying when you're afflicted, then it's not going to be unnatural for you to cry out to God. Lord, help me! I need your help! Lord, give me wisdom in this. How am I going to solve this problem? What am I going to do about this situation? Lord, help me! And if you're used to praying, then it'll come more naturally. But some of you perhaps very seldom cry out to God for any reason. And it may not come naturally to you when troubles come. That ought to be the first thing that comes to our mind. But Peter says, just in case it's not the first thing that comes to your mind, when you're afflicted, are you afflicted? Pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. And so it's a reminder for all of us that when we're afflicted, we need to pray. Psalm 91, verse 15, reminds us of this. Now, Psalm 91 was written to those, if you read verse 1, it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's talking about those who stay close to God. And then he says in verse 15, he says, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God says, I'll be with them. I'll meet their needs. I will help them. Why? Because they stay close to me. That's a promise that God gives to all of us. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God promises us, if we will cast our burdens on Him, He will meet our needs. He wants us to pray. He wants us to give Him our troubles. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God said, Give me your troubles. So He's saying here, we need to pray. We need to talk to God. You might ask, well, what am I supposed to say? What are we supposed to pray for? Well, you know, our natural thing, what's the first thing we pray for? Troubles come up. What's the first thing we always pray for? Lord, get me out of this. All right, that's not always what God wants. But that's our first prayer. And there's not anything necessarily wrong with it. That was Peter's prayer. Peter didn't say, Lord, teach me what I'm supposed to do when I go under next time. No, he didn't say that. He said, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. All right? So there's nothing wrong with asking for deliverance. We need deliverance from God. But that isn't always what God wants for us. Sometimes God lets us go through some trials that we need to learn from. But praying for deliverance is the right thing. Psalm 40, verse 13 says, Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. The psalmist was praying for deliverance. He said, Lord, please deliver me. I need your help. Deliver me. Psalm 40, verse 13. But you know, there's other ways that we need to pray. We ought to pray that God's will would be done. We ought to pray, Lord, whatever you want. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before his crucifixion, and he was praying. What did Jesus pray that night? It says that he went a little further, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and he prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew the agony. He knew the torment, not only of the physical abuse of the cross, but of bearing my wicked, filthy sins on that cross and yours. Jesus took it all. You know, he was dying, but not because he did anything wrong. He died because of what I did wrong. He died because of what you did wrong. He took our filthy sins upon Him. And He paid the price for it. And He knew that was coming. And He said, If it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. The human part of Him didn't want to go through that. But He said, Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt be done. And you know, during the trials, it's not easy. Sometimes during trials, we need to say, Lord, I sure wish you'd take away this trial. But if it's not your will, your will be done. Your will be done. And you know, if we'll have that attitude, it'll help us through the trial. It'll help us through the trial. Another thing we should pray is for strength during the trial. It's not easy going through trials. Pray for strength. Psalm 119, verse 28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." The psalmist is saying, I am weighed down. My soul is melting because of the heaviness of this burden. Lord, strengthen me. That ought to be our prayer. God, give me strength through this difficult time. Help me to get to the end of this trial. Help me through this difficult time. Help me through this burden. Help me to be able to be strong when others are caving in. Help me to stand true to you even though it's hard. Help me to do what is right when it's difficult. I need strength. So we need to pray for strength. So we see here, first of all, that we pray for our deliverance, but we ought to pray God's will be done. We ought to pray also for strength. Also, remember back in the early part of James, chapter 1, verse 5, James said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Another thing we need to pray is for wisdom. God, how do I handle this trial and bring glory to you? How do I do it? You know, our response to trial is often to get mad, to get upset, to get angry, to feel like I'm being cheated. It's not fair. God, you're being mean to me. Please take this thing away. Look at all the people around me that don't have this trial. How come I got this trial? Lord, it's not fair. That's our normal fleshly response. The right response is, Lord, give me wisdom to know how to respond. Give me wisdom to know how to help that child that's gone astray. Lord, give me wisdom to know how to work through the issues that we're facing in our marriage. Lord, help me to have wisdom to know how to work harder, to provide, to be more careful with my money that we may be able to get this financial problem solved. Lord, give me the wisdom I need to be kind to the neighbor that is so unkind to me. Lord, give me wisdom to know how to strengthen my emotions during times of trouble so that I don't crumble and cave in. Lord, give me wisdom. I need your wisdom. So we need to pray for wisdom. James said, if any of you are afflicted, let him pray. Pray for deliverance. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for strength. Pray for wisdom. And one that we often don't think of. We need to thank God for our trials. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's hard. When you're going through a difficult time, things are caving in, problems all around, troubles and struggles, persecution. It's hard to say, "Lord, thank you. You know what is best. You know what I need. Thank you." You know, sometimes God has to put us through these things to teach us to be empathetic toward others. It is so easy to criticize others and say, "They need to be tough," but we've never been through it. And we can be empathetic toward them if we've gone through it. We've gone through those hard times. You know, when someone says, you know, that if you've never, for example, if you've never had malaria, and somebody says, "Oh, I got malaria," you say, "Oh, that's too bad." If someone tells me they've had malaria, my heart goes out to them because I say, "I know exactly where you're coming from. I've been there, went through that. It's no fun. It's difficult." And you know, you've got experiences in your life that I've never been through. You've got those experiences God's let you through, go through some trials in life that has made you strong in certain areas. Why? So that you can be an encouragement to others when they go through those kind of times. We know what it's like. You know, Marlise has now just gone through these shingles. If anybody in her life later on goes through shingles, she'd say, "Hey, I've been there, done that. I know what that's like. I can pray for you with all my heart because I know what it is like." And every one of you have gone through some trials. And you can say to someone else, "I know what that is like. I've been there. I've gone through that. God brought me through. Keep strong. You'll be okay. God will meet your needs." And we can be an encouragement to them. Why? Because we have been through that. And so we need to thank God. Joseph, when he went through those trials, 13 years as a slave and in prison. A slave because his brothers hated him and sold him. In prison because a woman lied about him and stuck him in prison for something he didn't do. 13 years of his life gone. Prime years of his life. His late 20s, early teens, early 20s. All the way up to 30. When he's 30 years old, God delivers him. And Joseph was able to look back and say, God had a purpose in it all. It wasn't fun, but God had a purpose in it. Brought me to Egypt. Now, God has raised me up, and I am the prime minister of Egypt. And I can meet the needs and help and protect the lives of thousands of people because God placed me in this position. Never would have happened any other way. God had a purpose. And you know, you may not know what the trouble you're going through is doing to help you or to help others. But if you just say, God, thank you. Help me to be thankful for the trial, Lord. God can strengthen you and enable you and help you and build you up and give you grace to be a help to somebody else that goes through the same trial. Not only that, but you know, one of the things that's a real burden on my heart is I look back at my younger years, especially my teen years, and I wasn't living very godly in my teenage years. I was kind of a hypocrite. You know, on the outside, I was living pretty, you know, Christian-like. But on the inside, there was a lot of things I wasn't very godly. And I look back at that, and my heart now breaks for the young people of our congregation. And I see them doing things or doing things that I think, Lord, help me. Help me to help them. I can see where they're going. They're headed the wrong way. They're going to trip in the ditch. It's going to hurt them. Please, Lord, give me wisdom to help them not to go that route. You know, sometimes young people think, oh, those old people are so narrow and so, they just don't understand. Well, a lot of times young people listen. Moms and dads do understand a lot more than you think. They've seen the heartache. They've seen the troubles. They can see how dressing that way is going to lead that way. They can see how acting that way is going to do. They can see how that friend is not going to help you. He's going to hurt you. They can see that. And they beg you, don't do that. Oh, you're always being mean to me. You don't let me do what I want to do. Don't rebel against it. They're on your side. They love you. They want to help you. They don't want you to crash in the ditch. They don't want you to get hurt. They want to help you. And you know, sometimes we go through those trials to help us to be able to understand and be able to see more clearly, to be able to help others to say, don't, please don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't act like that. Don't do that. Don't dress like that. Don't listen to that. Don't watch that. Don't go there. It's going to hurt you. You say, I don't see anything. It will. It will. It will hurt you. Don't do it. And we're able to do that because we've gone through those trials. And so there's all kinds of reasons. But God says that when we are in a trial, we need to pray. We need to pray. But then look at the rest of the verse. He says, during happiness, we need to sing psalms. He goes on there in verse 13. He says, if any of you be afflicted, any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. God asks that question, are you merry? Are you happy? The word merry there just simply means to be happy, to cheerful, have good spirits, to be glad, to be joyful. Are you happy? Well, you know, life is not all sad. You know, even when you have troubles, there's good times. And we can all look back at times when we've had a lot of fun. The Lord's been good to us. The Lord's blessed us. We rejoice. We praise the Lord for His blessings. And God has been good to us in many, many ways. And yet, it's the opposite of being afflicted. He says, is any afflicted? He needs to pray. Is any merry? He needs to sing songs. Be happy. God is good. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows how. He knows them that trust in Him. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And the Lord really is good. He's been good to me. He's been good to you. In many, many ways. And we need to be thankful for that. And during the times of hardships, we are to pray. But You know, that seems to come somewhat naturally. Something goes wrong, Lord, help me. You know, even unbelievers, you know, it just boggles my mind. I mean, if things go wrong, once in a while, they will turn to God. Other times they'll say, how come God let these bad things happen to me? But you know, when good things happen, they never say, praise God for the good things. I never think of that. But you know, sadly, we can pick on them, but many times we forget as well. When things are going well, how much time do we sing praises to God? How much time do we take to thank God? Thank you for my health. Thank you that I'm feeling good today. Thank you that I got a good night of sleep last night. Thank you for my job. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my church. Thank you for the good things we've... Thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that I can gain from the word every day. Thank you for your blessings in our life. We forget to thank God. And yet he says, if you're happy, you need to sing songs. Sing psalms. Now, as we think about this, he says that we're singing the psalms. The word psalms there is an interesting word. It literally means, if you just look it up in a Hebrew or a Greek dictionary, it literally means to play on a stringed instrument. That's what it literally means, to play on a stringed instrument. Now, David was the psalmist, and that's why it's translated psalms, because it was frequently referred to David and those that played the stringed instruments, and they would sing the psalms of David on the stringed instruments. And so as they would be playing the harp and the strings and all that melodic melody of the harp, they would sing the psalms. And so that's why it is translated as it is. It's also in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19, it is translated making melody. The verse says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The same word here. It is the word of plucking with the strings and singing the psalms. The idea of it, the overall idea of that phrase, is that we're to sing praises to God. To sing praises to God because of what He has done for us. It ought to come from our hearts that we would sing praises. Not just in good times, but also in bad times. You know, you think in the Bible, can you think of any example when somebody was getting beat up and persecuted and hurt and they sang songs? Well, one good example of that is in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. The Apostle Paul and Silas were in prison. They had been beaten with rods until their backs were broken and bleeding. They'd been taken to the inner dungeon and stuck in the stocks as in the most uncomfortable and miserable position in the stocks that they could possibly find. And at midnight, what were they doing? Well, the scripture says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They're singing praises to God after they just got beaten so badly on their backs that their back was beaten open, broken and bleeding, and they're in stocks, and they're singing praises. Now, that's a pretty good example. Would I have done that? I don't know. I would like to think I would, but I know me too well. It's easy to complain when things are going wrong. Cry and weep and why me? Paul was singing praises. Now that was when he's in bad times, but James here says, if any of you are merry, let him sing praises to God. In times of, when you think about those good things, we sing that song, count your blessings, name them one by one. You know, we ought to have those kind of songs in our mind. We ought to be singing those kind of songs throughout the day, thanking God for the good things He's done for us and praising God for His greatness. The scriptures tell us that God created all things to praise Him. Let me show you. Flip over in your Bible to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. I want to show you the psalm. It's a great blessing and an encouragement to us. Psalm 148. Psalm 148. One of the last psalms. And look at verse 7. Psalm 148, beginning with verse number 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons. Word dragon there is a word that could have been translated dinosaurs. It's referring to those gigantic creatures that God created. And all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Now, think about that. God said He created everything to praise Him. He created the dinosaurs to praise Him. He created the beasts of the field to praise Him. He created the fowls of the heaven to praise Him. He created the mountains and the trees. How do they praise Him? I don't know, but God created them for praise. Some way they bring praise to God. And He said that every young man and young maiden, old man, old woman, kings, all of us are to praise God. And so, back in James, James says, if any of you are merry, let him sing psalms. God loves it when we sing to Him. God loves it when we sing praises to His name. We ought to do that regularly, to sing praises to God. During hardships, yes, but also during times of happiness, to sing to God. I wonder, when's the last time you sang to God? Oh, we sing in church. But you know, unfortunately, you're no different than I am. There are many, many times I've sat where you're sitting, sang songs, and I knew the song, and I just said the words, never even thought a little bit about what I was singing. It just kind of comes out because you know the song. We don't even think about it. That's not singing praise to God. That's just mouthing words. But when you sing those songs and you think about what the song said, and you think, yes, God, that's my prayer. I'm singing this to You because that is true. That is my prayer. Thank You, Lord. And we sing it from our heart. That's what God wants. That's what God loves. When we sing those songs of praise, praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Sing those praises to God. Sing praise to Him. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. We need to be singing people. We need to be people that are singing praises to God. Now, I'm not talking about what many of the modern churches have when they have a big rock band up there. They're playing some rock song and they say they're praising God. Well, they may have a few praise words in the song, but the music itself comes from the patterned after the devil's music, and that's not bringing honor to God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you in your own heart singing praises that genuinely come from your heart, praising God for what He's done for you. Praise God for the blessings. And the songbook has got lots of songs in it, the songs about praise. Our chorus book on Wednesday night's got lots of songs in it about praising God and thanking God for the things He's done. Scripture song. Look up those things, meditate on them, and focus on them. God will bless you if you'll do that. God says, I want you to praise Me with your song when you're happy. And so, one last verse in Psalm 47 and verse number 6. It says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. God wants us to sing praises to Him. Every one of us can do it. You might say, Pastor, you've never heard me sing. That's all right. God doesn't care whether you can sing in some orchestra or not. That's not the point. You can still sing. If God rejoices when the crows are singing, and God rejoices when the bullfrogs are singing, then God's going to rejoice when you sing. Even if you don't sing like a star, it doesn't matter. Sing praises to God. God will bless you for it. And so this morning, our text, we've got two simple take-home messages for us here. Number one, during hardships, pray. 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 During the hardships, pray. Number two, during happiness, sing praise to God. During hardships, pray. During happiness, sing praises to God. Something all of us can do. If you know the Lord is your Savior, you can pray. If you know the Lord is your Savior, you can sing praises to God. We need to do it. If you don't know the Lord is your Savior, I invite you to come talk to me after the service. I'd be happy to go through the gospel with you, show you how simple it is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ so that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you too can pray when you have troubles. And you can sing praises to God when you're happy. That's what God wants for us. And so let's remember, these were not God's suggestions. They were God's commands. Both of them are commands, imperatives. If any of you are afflicted, let him pray. If any of you marry, let him sing psalms. Commands from God. Let's obey God.